Gotcha. So this morning they asked us to share an update of our personal family ministry journey, and we're going to do that. And they also, Pastor Greg asked me to bring a message. So the ministry update's actually in the middle. There's a short bit of the message at the beginning. So Chloe's going to give these out. Can I actually have one of them, babe? Thank you. So many of you were here in the summer 2024 while Chloe and myself were here, as well as some other missionaries. And for 6 weeks, I had the privilege of filling this pulpit as one of the interim preachers here at First Baptist Juneau. And how many of you have ever prepared a sermon and preached it before? Okay, a number of you. How many of you have ever done that twice in a row? 2 weeks in a row? Okay, more than four times consecutively? Okay, so for those of you that continued to raise your hand, and that was the first time I had done that. I have prepared and delivered a week-long teaching before over the course of a week, and I have shared in churches one-time messages several times. The last summer 24 was the first time that 6 weeks in a row I got to stand up and prepare or deliver a message that I had prepared. And there's an extra weight to that. To come in on Monday and go, okay, what am I going to preach on this coming week? And to pour out your time and study and your quiet times with the Lord, seeking His face and saying, what, God, do you want me to stand up and be your voice to these people? And then to get up on Sunday morning, probably early, and I like to get up especially early and just re-go over things again, and then get up and preach, hopefully with passion about what you have prepared, to have no idea what people might do with that. And then to do it all over again. That was the new experience for me, summer 24. And I left that summer feeling a little bit convicted, actually, because I knew that there were weeks where I showed up to church half asleep or maybe totally preoccupied with some other thing, or maybe the pastor, his intro didn't quite hook me or something. And I would walk out of church having no idea what was said, having no idea how it affected my life. And I will say that there are messages that strike a chord and resonate with us more than others. But the Lord convicted me and said, each and every time that you sit and you listen to a man or woman of God bring forth the message that I have given, I want you to do whatever you can in your power to find at least one nugget of truth to walk away with. And so this morning, I felt like the Lord wanted me to make these little handouts to give to you guys. So as a person that has done that, I'm sure those of you that raised your hands have stood and had people come up and say, wow, Pastor, that was a good message. Like, okay, cool, thank you. What I can say, at least for me, maybe Pastor Greg will agree. Pastor Greg didn't know I was going to do this, by the way. I would encourage you to think about questions like these. These are just some examples. Think about these as you sit through a message and give him some feedback at the end of the message. Say, hey, Pastor Greg, when you shared this story, that really connected with me. And this is how I want to live my life as a result of this scripture or this question that you asked. It painted this thing in a new light for me. And you don't have to just share with him. You can share with others around you as well. And so I wanted to give that to you this morning. How many of you OCD people have found that one of the questions is repeated at the end? Anybody? Nobody looked that close yet? And there's lots of other questions you could ask. So I gave that to you to start with. Chloe and I are going to do a ministry update, and it's possible that something from that could be what stands out to you this morning. That's why I wanted to start with that. There are a few faces I don't recognize. To back up a little bit about Chloe and I, we are full-time missionaries with Youth with a Mission, also known as YWAM. I've been in the mission for over 10 years, and Chloe is 10 years now too, now that we're in 2026. Chloe was in Texas for a number of years, and then in 2021, she moved to West Virginia, where I was born and raised, and joined our staff team, and that fall we got married. Chloe is originally from Juneau. Her granddaddy was the pastor of First Baptist Juneau for many years. And so for us, we've been privileged to be a part of YWAM now for 10 years, as I said. YWAM, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, is a huge international, interdenominational missions movement. And we have locations all around the world. Our motto is to know God and make him known. And everything we do kind of fits into three big umbrella categories of evangelism, training, or mercy ministry. And where we were at in West Virginia, we would go out to other places some. We brought a team here in the summer of 24. But we were also more so very focused inwardly on our community in West Virginia, trying to bring community transformation. And now Chloe and I are going in just a few weeks to join the location in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where they are also focused on their community, but they're more focused on going out as well. And Chloe will share more about that in a moment. But I just, because you guys have sent us out and commissioned us as a family, I don't want to just say, hey, we're going to go do this thing. I'd like to share with you a little bit of why and how we've come to that decision. Back in the spring of 2025, we went up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to do a leadership program there. And we had come to a place in our ministry where we were feeling burnt out. We felt like we were kind of hitting a wall in some different areas, and we needed this time away with ourselves as a family to hear from the Lord and to have some healing, some clarity about the future. And while we were there, through a series of events, I'm cutting a lot of details out. If you're a details person, you want to hear more later, I would love to share that. But while we were there, we came to realize that, oh, our team in West Virginia is no longer our team, which was hard for me, especially to hear because it's my hometown. You know, I have been wanting to see God's kingdom come to that place for as long as I knew that I could want something like that. And the Lord spoke to me through that and met me in that and said, you know, even though we may go, he has been there long before me. He was there the whole time I was, and he will be there long after I'm gone. And he's going to continue to move in that place. Our prayers and our tears on that place are not going to return void. So we came to that conclusion about halfway through our leadership program. And so then we didn't know what was next, which is against kind of conventional wisdom. Normally you have a next plan and step or in place before you say, well, I'm done with this thing. And over the next week, the number of opportunities that came to Chloe and I were countless. But we just knew that, you know, this wasn't the right thing yet. They were all great opportunities, but we were waiting on the Lord for what is the next thing. And we go to church. So every week we were there, we went to six different churches because we have contacts at all of these churches. Like we didn't just pick random churches. They were churches we have ongoing relationship with. And we go to this one particular church. It's the first time I've ever been there, but I've known the people there for years. And we're sitting in the service, and I just find myself going, man, I wonder if we're going to be here. Like, you know, I liked a lot of the other churches we went to, and but none of them did I have that thought or that feeling. I thought, God, that's weird, you know. And I shared that with Chloe, but we went on about our day and our week. And that week, we started working on in our leadership program our passion statements, which my passion is to energize, equip, and support others to stay on their field, live alongside Jesus, and proclaim his kingdom. And in our class, in our course, they had us write down our passion statement, whatever we thought it was, and then we went through all these exercises trying to change it and make it better. And initially, I said to one of our staff, well, what if I don't want to change it? What if I think mine's already good? And he was like, well, you don't have to. And I did end up tweaking it a little bit. But he sat down and he heard what I had to say. And he said, wait a second. I have to pause you for a second. He said, now I'm not in any way trying to recruit you or anything. He said, but do you know about, they call it Cross-Cultural Leadership Center, which is a big mouthful. But it's a specific ministry of that YWAM location that I did not know existed. He said, do you know about this? And I was like, nope. And just a few days before that, I had had, in a time with the Lord, I had thought, if I could do anything, what would I do? And it was exactly what this guy described this ministry as being. And I was like, oh, okay. And he said, well, have you been to Hopewell Forge? I was like, no, what is that, you know? And he said, oh, it's another campus that we actually just bought not too long ago. We've got to get you there to go on a tour. And I was like, oh, okay. And we continued talking about my passion statement that was the exercise at hand. And I said about the church we had gone to that past week. It's called River of Life. And he was like, River of Life. Lancaster County has a lot of churches. Lancaster County is the largest sending county of missionaries in the world. And so he's trying to think of this church, and I say, oh yeah, such and such staff member goes there. He's like, wait, is it like 10 miles up the road that way in the top of an old barn, kind of sits back off the main road? I said, yeah. He said, that's Hopewell Forge. So the very place where they're launching this ministry that I had no idea existed, but matched perfectly the description of what I felt like God said he wanted us to do, I've already been told or had the impression, are we going to be there? And so, yeah, all of that being said, I'm going to have Chloe come and share about a dream that the Lord gave her, and then she's going to share more about what we're actually going to do while we're there.
So, like Jake said, it was a process. We had kind of come to a place in our lives where what we were doing just wasn't working. Not that in our hearts, if that makes sense. We were, we just desperately, we had put things above our relationship with the Lord, and we needed an alignment. And so that's what the Lord was doing in our hearts in Lancaster while we were there. But when Jake came to me and said, hey, I feel like the team in West Virginia is no longer our team and that we're supposed to come here, I was like, okay, what? It was pretty shocking, because the whole time that we went, the whole purpose of going to this leadership thing, conference thing, was to get tools to go back, to bring change, to make things better. So after Jake told me that, it took me some time to realize that actually my desire to go back and make things better was not God's desire for me. It was something that I was just doing it without him. So I went on a walk, and I was praying, and change is scary. Raise your hand if you have a hard time with change. Me too. Even if you are not in a healthy place, even if you there's dysfunction or hard things, not just random hard things, like you're in a difficult place, change, it seems more scary than sometimes being in that really dark place, if that makes sense. Like, we get comfortable in misery. We get comfortable in darkness, honestly, and which is wrong. So I was praying, and I'm like, Lord, you know, if we move, what about this and this and this and this? You know, I'm just talking with him. And I felt like he reminded me a year and a half prior, I had a dream. I had gone to sleep. And when I was asleep, I had a dream where this person who I could tell was a missionary, I don't know how I could tell, but I just knew that's a missionary, was coming to me. And I didn't see their face. I didn't know if it was a boy or girl. I didn't know, but I just knew they were a missionary, and they had blood coming out of them and cuts and scrapes and dirt. They were covered in dirt. And I grabbed a rag and I just started like washing them off. And then I literally carried them, which is kind of funny because I'm like 5'2" and I'm carrying this big missionary, and I lay them in bed, and then I feed them soup. And I wake up. That was my whole dream. I'm like, that was weird. So I asked the Lord, was that you? Like, what was that? Usually when I eat too much pasta, I have a weird dream about like a gorilla coming into the room or whatever. But this was like real, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've ever had a dream like this, but this was like purposeful. Like God was trying to speak something to me. So I asked him, like, what is this? What do you want me to do? At the time, we had a pretty large house, which that's a whole nother God story of how he's a great provider and he provides abundantly. And he had done that through this home for us. And so I was like, hey, maybe we're supposed to make our house into like a bed and breakfast, but for missionaries coming back from the field to have a place to be restored in some way. And I'm just like, I don't know if any of you are like this, but you just write down ideas. You write down ideas, you get ideas, and you're like, we could do that, we could do that, we could do this. And in my own strength, yet again, I was trying to make something work. And quickly, thankfully, the Lord said, stop, put this idea on the shelf, which he had never told me that, or maybe he had, but this is the first time I was listening. Said, okay. So I took this dream. I wrote it down, and I literally just left it. So fast forward a year and a half, we're in Lancaster. God's speaking to Jake very clearly about us being moved to a new location and giving Jake a passion for this kind of ministry where we're helping missionaries. We are missionaries, but coming alongside them, especially the younger generation, going to unreached places that have never heard about Jesus, because there's still many places in the world today that have never heard about the Lord, and teaching them, equipping them, mentoring them, or doing whatever the Lord would have us do. And God reminded me of that dream. And so I went to a lady that was on staff there, and I just told her, I was like, I don't know where this fits in. She lives in Lancaster. I don't know where this fits in, but I just feel like I need to share with you. I had this dream. And she's like, well, your dream actually is pretty much the foundation of this ministry that we're doing. And so it was just confirmation to me that God, there's something about this next step that God wants Jake and I to be a part of. A lot of you know me, a lot of you like literally helped raise me. And so, yeah. Sometimes we think we have it all figured out, and it's actually in our own strength, and we're missing doing it with Jesus, who does it way better, and has a way better plan. And so we're really excited for the next step. We want to be trained specifically in cross-cultural missions. We've been working a lot with Appalachian folks in West Virginia who we love dearly. And there's God's still moving greatly in that place. Yeah, actually, sorry, this is a little thing. Two of the kids that came here while they were here. So, for those of you who don't know, we came in 2024. We hosted a youth camp, which thank you, First Baptist. I know that was a huge risk and probably crazy for you all, but thank you for the trust and support in that. God moved in the youth. And I'm looking at some of the youth that were there. God moved and they received, and it was a beautiful time. And just as much as we came to serve y'all, God just poured out on us here by your support and your love and your prayer. But two of our youth kids, not by any pushing or any like instigating in any way, they came to us and they said that they, two of them, they haven't necessarily been living with Jesus in their lives. And God was like, just met them. And now they're living with the Lord. They've stopped doing some of their old habits that were directing them away from God. They're both pursuing, surrendering it all and even maybe going into missions, which is a, I just want you to know, that's a big deal. God did that here, literally right here on this pew. So thank you for your prayer and support and for letting us live in this building and, for cooking food for us and all of that. But so thank you. God is, he's good. Oh, what we will be doing. We'll be doing pretty much what we've always been doing, asking the Lord, what do you want us to do? but some specific things. Jake loves teaching. He has a heart for teaching. He hasn't always been released to teach, but in this new chapter, he will be teaching a lot more. There's a group of young ladies that have already asked me to mentor them. One of them is looking to be a full-time missionary in the Himalayan mountains. And before she launches out, she just wants some more foundation. And she asked me if I would meet with her regularly. So we'll be a part of that. As missionaries come in and out of the U.S., we'll be a part of equipping them. So if they need supplies, we have right now there's four long-term teams in various locations around the world where it is illegal to be a Christian. And so we'll be a part of sending them things. And that could be toys. It could be candy. It could be Bibles. So as the Lord leads, we'll be helping do that, kind of like a liaison in a way. And then who knows from there. We're open to however the Lord leads us. But that's our heart, is to champion, especially the younger generations, to do what God's asked them to do, and whatever that looks like. That's what we'll do. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chloe. To add just a little bit to what we're going to be doing there, there's a number of other opportunities too for us. We're looking forward to going to other countries more ourselves. We haven't done that basically since COVID, us as a couple. And so we have opportunity. We've been invited to Latvia. We've been invited to Thailand. We've been invited to Saudi Arabia. We've been invited to, I will leave the list at that. We haven't necessarily taken up those invitations. Latvia is the one that's most likely for us to go to. But these are opportunities for us to go and teach. It's opportunities for us to go and help these long-term missionary teams with whatever they need help with. Chloe and I both have a number of talents in lots of different areas. We're not experts in any of them, but we know a little about a lot of things. And so for us to go and help and partner with them, we're excited to do that and to be able to focus on our family while we do it too. This ministry location is more more set up to be, a family in missions. So, this morning, as we, Chloe and I were praying about what else to share with you all, we had a chapter of scripture come to our hearts, and it is Romans chapter 12. So I'm going to read that. And I would like for you to listen. However you're going to best engage, if you're an auditory learner, then just close your eyes and listen. If you're a visual person, you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles. But I'm just going to read this, and I'm going to kind of let it speak for itself. And I want, as I read it, I want you to be listening for, is there a word? Is there a verse? Is there some practical way I've been living that I need to do differently, something I need to add or take away from my life? This is one of my favorite chapters of scripture. It's a very meaty chapter. And yeah, so I'm going to read this. I'm going to kind of take my time as I read it. And I just want you to listen and allow the Lord to speak. And before I read it, I just I want to pray for us one more time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are our living hope, that your name is power. And we invite you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts the thing that we most need to hear this morning. We quiet our hearts. We set aside the circumstances and distractions of life for just a moment. God, would you help us to be completely zoned in on this scripture that is breathed by you, God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their head. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Thank you, God, for your holy scripture. Let's just take a moment, and I want you to think about these questions. If there was something that stood out to you, if you write in your Bible, I encourage you to underline it. If you don't, you're welcome to write on the slip of paper that we passed out. But I'd like you to write down something. God, thank you. For me, what really stood out this morning, I read this in a couple of translations this morning. What I read aloud to all of you is the New Living Translation. And the New American Standard and several others, verse 9 says, cling to what is good. And that's what really stood out to me today, because sometimes we're, you know, we hold on to something that's good, but it's like, if it, you know, something happens, then we'll just get the next good thing. But here, Paul encouraged us to cling to what is good. I don't always cling to what is good. He is good. And most importantly, let us cling to Jesus. And so I also want you to take a minute and just think, who can I share this with later? Whether it's someone in your family, whether it's Pastor Greg, whoever it might be. And with that, I want to read a prayer of blessing over you, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Greg. So let's pray. May this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart, to all of your hearts, and to our homes. May God's image in us be restored, and our imagination in God be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened and the relativity of time slow down. May we know the grace to embrace our own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed us and his spirit lead us into this week and into the life to come. Amen.